I want you to find a passage of Scripture in your Bibles, if you would, in Matthew 16. It's a familiar passage, and I wasn't going to share it all this morning. We're kind of just seeing where the Lord would lead us today. And based upon that very thing, this passage of Scripture came to my mind. And I want to talk to you for a minute about it. It kind of teaches us about spontaneity. And what spontaneity in the Spirit is, and what actually following Christ means. I don't know if you've caught on to this or not, but following Jesus Christ will often make you feel extremely uncomfortable. And it's that constant putting us out of our comfort zone that builds faith. And it seems to me that's what God has always required of me, is to constantly be moving out of my comfort zone. Now, how many of you out there are planners? You like a plan. You have to follow a plan. In other words, now watch. In church life, we try to get away from plans. We say that, but then we operate based off of a plan. It used to be the old bulletins. How many of you remember that? Told you what song you was going to sing, when you was going to sing it, if you were to stand up or if you wasn't to stand up. And then there came this time where everybody started preaching against bulletins, and so we throwed the bulletins away, but we kept doing the same thing anyway. And the reason is because people like to make a plan. How many of you would agree with that? We was coming down the road, and Haley said, how many songs? And I said, I don't know. And I said, have a bunch ready. She said, well, I need to know. Because she is a need-to-know kind of person, right? And she will develop a plan based off, and she can't fathom the fact, what do you mean you don't know? You have to know. We're going to church. It's time for church. We got to know these things. Okay, watch. Most everybody does that. We operate. For example, watch. If Roger and Joey decided not to develop a plan, you'd never get nothing done. You have to have a plan, right? There's got to be a plan put in place to be productive. Here's the problem with planning or bringing our world into the world of the kingdom instead of allowing the world of the kingdom to invade our world. Everything works exactly opposite in the world of the kingdom. Y'all ever notice that? It's always an opposite philosophy. In other words, watch. Here's what the world would say. If someone hits you, you better be prepared to hit them back. That's what the world says. But in the kingdom, you're to turn the other cheek. In the world, it says if somebody hates you, you hate them back. In the kingdom, it says you're to love those that hate you and pray for them that despitefully use you. Everything about the kingdom of God works opposite of what we normally think. So planning goes out the window when it comes to kingdom stuff. Let me explain one reason why that is. How many of you know the Bible says God's ways are above our ways. They're past finding out. Okay, that's in the Word. Let me say it again. Matter of fact, I want you to say it with me. God's ways are above our ways. They're past finding out. Say that with me. God's ways are above our ways. They're past finding out. Then another place in the Word it says, eye hath not seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for those that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us, how? By His Spirit. So there is this element of the person of God that says, I want you to know what I'm doing, but you can only know what you don't know through the person of the Holy Spirit. Make sense? Now I'm going to read to you a passage of Scripture that presents a guy who operated based off of a plan. Okay? And here's what the Word says in Matthew. So you know the Scripture. Matthew 16, verse Well, let's start with verse 15. Jesus is talking, and he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered, and he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered him and said this, Blessed art thou, Simon, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven, told you that. Do y'all see what's happening so far? Jesus said, Who do you say that I am? Peter said, Well, you're the Christ. You're the Son of God. And Jesus said, You didn't come up with that, Peter, on your own. That could only be revealed to you by the Father. Now, here's an important principle of truth from that passage so far. Only God can reveal to you truth. It's not something that can be learned. Did y'all hear that? Can I tell you that one principle of truth stretches from Genesis to Revelation, and it's so important and so powerful it'll revolutionize your life if you'll allow it. Watch. You do not have the capacity to learn truth. You think you do, but you don't. Only the Father can reveal to you truth. Now, if you want to break that down to where it's palatable, I'll say it this way. There are some things that is beyond your capacity to even know. And the reason is because you're stupid. I'm telling you, so am I. Okay? It is beyond our capacity to learn the things of God or the person of God by the same standard the world uses to communicate truth. It must be received through the person of the Spirit through this thing of revelation. That's why Jesus said to Peter, The Father hath revealed these things to you. Okay? Now, that's pretty cool. Peter just got a revelation from the Father, spoke it right out there, and man, that's cool. Matter of fact, Jesus even said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And Peter, I'm going to give to you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Okay? And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's a pretty good reward given to Peter because he just simply said what was revealed to him from something that was outside of his capacity to know. Now, just as I said, we're stupid, I can also tell you this. You and I have the capacity to receive revelation from the Creator of the universe. That didn't excite you? You're acting like you're in Sunday school. This is not Sunday school. We're gathering around the living Word of God, so respond that way. You have the capacity to know things that no one else outside of Christ could possibly know. There you go, Sherry. Thank you. That's revelation from the Father. Okay, and based off of revelation from the Father, you can bind on earth, you can set free on earth. You can even bind in heaven and set free in heaven. Now that goes into the whole spirit world paradigm of spiritual warfare and what's taking place in the second heavens. As a matter of fact, based on this very passage of Scripture, it's teaching us that you have power to bind up demon forces that are sailing through the second heavens with strategies to destroy you. You have authority to bind that. But it has to come through revelation of the Father. So Satan comes along and whispers to you how weak you are, how useless you are, how unimportant and insignificant you are. You believe it, and then you start behaving as though that's true, and you say, I better get somebody else to pray for me because my prayers ain't worth nothing. Right? That's never the way God intended it. I don't want to get off of the track of what I'm talking about here. But then it goes on to say, then after this happened, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now watch this. And from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed. and be raised again on the third day. Now look what Peter does. Peter took him and began to rebuke him. He was rebuking Jesus. Can you imagine the arrogance of that? It's not like that Peter didn't know who he was. He just said who he was. But then felt the audacity to rebuke God. Did y'all hear that? I don't know that, I'm not sure we have that comprehension. Listen to that. Peter just announced who Jesus was. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus told him what was going to happen, and Peter said, "No, Lord," and he started rebuking God. Any act of disobedience from us is us rebuking God. Did y'all hear that? So Peter began to rebuke him and say, "Not so, Lord, be it far from you. Be it far from you." And Jesus had to respond and say, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, Peter had a plan. Here's what Peter's plan was. His plan was normal to what everybody else's plan was. He was living based off of Old Testament prophecy that said the Messiah is going to come and deliver the chosen people. The Messiah is going to come. Now, at this moment, they're living under Roman domination, and so Peter and the disciples had this idea that God was going to send the Messiah and was going to deliver them out of that persecution and establish his kingdom on the earth and rule and reign his people. That's what Peter was, that was his understanding. But because he did not know the ways of God concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, he rejected what the Son of God said and went his own way. Why? Because he would rather follow his plan than to have to say, "Wait a minute, God's plan's probably better than mine. I think I'll follow his." Are y'all with me? Listen, we run into a danger area when we make a plan and then we say, "God, I'm asking you to sign on to my plan." That's dangerous. We have to be open enough to the Lord to say, "Lord, I'm here to follow you. What is your plan?" Y'all hear that? Now let me tell you, if you're open enough to say to the Lord, "Lord, I'm here to follow your plan," let me tell you that God's plan is going to make you uncomfortable. Every time. You're not going to like God's plan most of the time. Your flesh is going to try to rebuke God. Your spirit man will be willing. Your spirit man can see spiritual spontaneity working everywhere and say, "Boy, I'd love to be a part of that." But your flesh man will shrink away from it and will say, "Well, what if God don't show up? I better have a plan." You know what you're doing? We're rebuking God at that point. Please say amen to that. We sometimes have to get used to what God's plan is. Can I now watch. I'm going to show you some things. I'm going to mention some things to you for you to test. Okay? How many of you have ever prayed a prayer and it felt like no answer was coming? Does that make you uncomfortable? It sure does me. There's been prayers I've been praying for. I know several prayers I've been praying now for 15 years. And I've seen no movement. Yet I know I'm praying in the will of God. Does God have a plan? God has a plan. God is as planned and as minutely planned as you could ever possibly be. As a matter of fact, God calls order out of chaos. That's how he created everything. Did you know that? He called order to come out of chaos in agreement with his plan. Let me tell you about God's plan. Watch this. Did you know God had planned for his only son to die on a cross, be buried, and rise again on the third day? He planned that before he created the earth. That's how minutely planned God is. So when Jesus is unfolding this this thing to Peter, this was the plan of God before the foundation of the world. But it didn't fit in with Peter's plan. Why? Because Peter didn't fully know the plan of God. Well, why didn't he know the full plan of God? Because God's ways are above our ways. They're past finding out. Well, don't God want us to know? He absolutely wants us to know. But he only gives information on a need-to-know basis. And all I need to know is what his plan is for me in this moment. You with me? Can I tell y'all something? This is the truth. I'm fixing to tell you a truth. It could be the plan of God for Haley and I to be living in Mongolia this time next year. Did you know that? Mongolia, globe, they're interchangeable. Yeah. Yep. It could be God's plan. So I can't say that it isn't. The only thing I know, it's God's plan for me today to be right here. That's what I know. And I can make a plan to be here the rest of my life. And I already have. But that plan of mine is subject to change based off of the revelation of God. Please tell me y'all see that. When we look at things and we say, well, God, how could this possibly be your plan? Well, let me tell you, you've got to first understand how stupid you are. It's God who has all wisdom and knowledge, and he reveals truth to you on a need-to-know basis. I'm going to use this as a personal thing, and then we'll pray and we'll take a break and come back and worship, because I've got a lot of things to share with you in the next service. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Okay. So let me share this part with you. It's because it's personal to me, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I have neuropathy in my hands and in my feet to the point that it's driving me insane. Okay? And I'm going through these things of taking the medication the doctors prescribed, and it's running backwards on me. I'm learning it's making it worse, not better. And if you study the side effects of the medication, and unfortunately this has been the whole case through the whole deal, I get the rare side effects that's like one in a million on everything. Okay? But now here's why I'm telling you that. If I go back to the time I was in the hospital and they did the surgery and they said, Mr. Roland, you have cancer. We think we got it all, but we need to do chemo to be sure. I prayed about that. I prayed. And I said, Lord, what is your plan? Now, I'm announcing this to you. I had perfect peace in my heart that I was supposed to do the chemo. That's the only reason I did it, because I had perfect peace, settled peace in my heart about doing the chemo. And I absolutely took it before the Lord. Now, watch this. Listen to me. Had I have known then what I know now, there's not enough money on planet Earth for me to have taken even the first chemo treatment. I'm telling you the truth. I still don't have low-end frequency hearing in my ears, though the volume is coming back. Praise the Lord. Amen? And I'm pretty sure they're taking the tubes out of my ears in June, and I'm thinking that that's going to go away. Watch this. All of the neuropathy in my hands and feet has got worse since I quit taking chemo. The chemo was supposed to be completely out of my system, I think, three Mondays ago, completely out of my system. I've got remarkably worse since then. And I call and they kept saying, you got to take more medicine, you got to take more medicine. And the more medicine I take, the more I swell, which is a side effect of medicine that I take. So the medicine's making things worse. Watch, listen to me. Thank you, Lord, that I didn't see this then. Hello? I have to operate on a need-to-know basis because I'm stupid. Please tell me y'all following that. See, that's why you have to be ready at all times to move in an instant as God reveals it to you. That's why you have to be ready. That's why the Bible says this, be ready always to give an answer of the hope that lieth within you. That's why the Bible says this, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That's why we've got to understand that your plan is secondary to the plan of God. Your plan is subject to change because you don't have full revelation yet of what your tomorrows is going to bring forth. You with me? We need to get accustomed to that. Best way to practice that is to allow yourself to be uncomfortable. Did you know that some of the most uncomfortable things you'll ever do, and it's not so much the case here with this crowd of people, but it is uncomfortable for a lot of people to go into church and do this. It's uncomfortable. Why? Because that's a movement toward God. You hearing me? That's why if someone took a microphone and put to your lips and said, hey, lead our hearts to the Lord in prayer, it may be uncomfortable for you. Learn to be uncomfortable. What if we came to church one Sunday and we said, you know what? I just feel like we need to just bow before the Lord and not say a word. I think we need to be still and know that He's God. How many of you could be comfortable in silence? Are you hearing what I'm saying? What if someone just brought a microphone and said, share with us what God did in your life this week. How uncomfortable. Be ready is what I'm saying. Spontaneity of the Holy Spirit requires you to follow with complete obedience. Peter said, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You are the Son of God. But he only knew half the plan. He knew the Messiah was coming. Now the Messiah was fixing to tell him what was going to happen since he come. They're going to kill me. Peter said, no, that's not part of the plan. God, you've got that wrong, God. Jesus, you've made a horrible mistake. Peter wanted the Lord to sign up with his plan instead of Peter signing up with the Lord's plan. Are y'all hearing that? We can learn ways of how to adapt to that, but every way to adapt will make you uncomfortable. So you know what my prayer is this morning? Lord, make us uncomfortable. Do you hear that? Let me just pray that. Lord, make us uncomfortable. God, we fully don't understand your plan. Because, Lord, I say to you, I'm stupid. I need help. And, Lord, the only way I know is if I hide my word in your heart. If I hide the word of God in me, it'll be a lamp to my feet. It'll light my path and I'll be able to see. Lord, I'm going to say this, and I hope everybody here will listen to this. You have scriptural evidence for this. Lord, reveal to us through the Holy Spirit what your plan is for this church, for our lives, for our relationships with one another. Make revelation, full revelation known, if you will, Lord. Or, Lord, at least reveal to us today. Reveal to us today us to learn how to move spontaneously with you. We love you, Lord. We give you praise for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen.